All right, so since it's the beginning of a new term, I get to be the chair for a few minutes and run the meeting once every 2 years. So please rise for Pledge of Allegiance.
Where's the flag? Do we have one?
So everyone just think patriotic thoughts. Oh, no, it's right there. It's right there.
Oh, there we go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I did have a meeting once where there was no flag, and so we're like, oh, what do we do? All right.
Phone case up.
So everyone is present. The first order of business is public comment. This is for comments on anything on tonight's agenda. Really, in case you weren't able to stay and you want to share some comments before you leave. So, is there any public comment? Yes.
Don't you need a roll call?
Well, I can see who's here. So.
Is this roll call? I mean, is this public comment for anything on the agenda or not on the agenda?
Anything on the agenda.
Okay.
Yes.
I was looking over the request for building in Old Town, and I realized that there was nothing from the fire department on this, but it does concern me that the setbacks are down to like a foot in some cases, and to me that seems really incredibly hard to get fire personnel in there. So I wanted to point that out. Other than that, I would wish to point out the roads, especially in Echo, at Crestview and Spruce. There is a pothole that is big, about as big as this table, and I send it in to Fix It Clark County, and they came out and they fixed that one, and another one appeared the next time we had snow, and it was about half the size of the table, and then now we have one that's back to the size of the table. It's not the same one, but when I go on Fix It Clark County, it says, oh no, we already did that. It's like, no, this is a different pothole, it's just at the same intersection. And so, I mean, it's down to dirt. And every time I've turned it in, it's been down to dirt. And the roads in Echo subdivision continue to deteriorate, and I'm pretty sure that some of the other ones are deteriorating too, if ours are, because of the large amount of snow removal equipment, which is necessary, but that just means we need our roads fixed. Thank you.
All right, any other comments?
On potholes?
No. No, about things that are on the agenda. All right. So next order of business is approval of minutes, which I did not have ready, so I apologize. So we'll just have to hold that till next month. Approval of agenda for tonight, March 30th, 2023.
I move to approve the agenda.
Second. Aye.
All right, so then we'll go to informational items. First item is to select a chair and vice chair for Mount Charleston Town Advisory Board. So do I have a motion
I move
for chair?
To appoint Bernie as chair.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Right.
Okay. And do I have a motion for vice chair?
I move to appoint Dan Channing, vice chair.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Ernie, the meeting is yours.
Peachy. First report, the evenings from Metro, our new sergeant. Introduce yourself, Andy.
Good evening, everyone. Andrew Velasquez, I go by Andy. Sergeant, Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, Mount Charleston, Indian Springs Residence Section. I haven't seen most of you since last December when I came up for kind of that intro when Matt was leaving. But I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
So to get down to quick business, I went back to the last week of February to year-to-date. Up here on the mountain, both sides, us and Lee Canyon, we've had 3 arrests. We've issued 54 citations, most of which coming from moving violations from traffic up and down our highways here. A few of them were in response to trespassers or other kind of disturbances up in the neighborhoods, but mostly from traffic. during the winter months, we've I've lost track, to be honest with you. We've had multiple recoveries of vehicles on both sides. I know our snore friends are up here, so I'll let them talk a lot about what they're doing in regards to that, but we have had multiple this snow season. I've had 10 animal issues up here, and what I mean by that is our, and I know it's going to be a topic, but our mostly our horses and our burros up on the highways with our tourists coming from down in the valley up here. Just to give you some history on that, I did do some research. There is a Nevada revised statute that me and my guys are allowed to enforce and that we are going to start working on, or actually we have started working on that. It allows for a written warning to be the first offense. Subsequent to the written warning, afterwards it's a gross misdemeanor crime to do anything with the wild horses as far as harassing, feeding. The NRS goes further into it, and if anybody would like a actual copy of it, I can provide that, but just know we are out here working on that. Myself personally, I've issued 3 of the written warnings, and I know my guys have done multiple as well. Another problem that we've been seeing, and it hasn't happened much, but we have 2 that I know of for sure, narcotic sellers coming from the valley, and they come up here on our busy weekends. They were coming up. So what these guys are doing is they're advertising on like Instagram, Facebook, that sort of thing. They're called pop-up stores. So these guys will advertise, hey, I'm gonna be up selling sandwiches. That's their code word right now. We're gonna be up selling sandwiches up on the mountain, or we're gonna be over at the ski resort selling sandwiches. And that's code for marijuana and a few other various narcotics, but it's mostly marijuana. We ran into one actually right in front of my substation. A couple weeks ago, he was selling face masks for the snow. That was his cover. We got him. He was placed under arrest. He wasn't very cooperative, but eventually he earned himself a trip to jail. His girlfriend was able to come up and grab his car before we were able to build a case to get a search warrant into the car, but we know who he is, and so we're keeping an eye on that. The other guy, he's predominantly going over to the Lee Canyon side, but he knows that we're onto him, so we haven't seen him up here since then. And that was roughly 3 weeks ago. The other, going back to our vehicle recoveries, again, it's just a detail. We've had 9 come out of Max Canyon, and again, it's predominantly our tourists and our, you know, adventure seekers from downtown or down in the valley coming up here and not really knowing what they're supposed to be doing. And then lastly, I did get approval for a 9th officer to come work up here.
Oh, great.
So he starts on the 15th. His name's Mike Nolan. He's been doing a lot of work as he can over the last few months coming up and doing ride-alongs and this and that to kind of start getting ready. But that is official as of the 15th. What that's going to do for our manpower here is not necessarily you'll see more of us on the road. You'll still see the same familiar faces, but that's going to alleviate pressure from us over here in Indian Springs. So Officer Williams, for those that know him, he's changing his schedule. He's going to go to day shift. He's going to work Tuesday through Friday, and he's going to be over at Indian Springs kind of monitoring the school during school times to allow us to deal with the issues over here. And then when summer break and the vacations and that sort of thing happen, he'll become, you know, same kind of concept. We'll be going back and forth. But that will help take some pressure off of us. So that's a good thing. Other than that, kind of wraps that my little spiel up. If anybody from the crowd has
The board have any questions?
Board first, excuse me.
For Andy.
Board first.
I have a question. Maybe I'm naive. Why do they come up here to buy marijuana if you can buy marijuana like every other store downtown?
There's marijuana and then there's marijuana.
Oh, okay.
In essence, yes. Okay. So there's different trains of thought. It's just kind of how you want to look at it. With the legalization of marijuana state level, that didn't really do much from the law enforcement standpoint as far as, you know, stopping the, you know, your black market sellers or, you know, your street level dealers, that sort of thing. If anything, it kind of increased the competition, if you will. So what these guys are doing is they're, if you think of it from a business standpoint, they're targeting, you know, the busy weekends, the tourist destinations, that sort of thing. So, you know, our winter wonderland that we can't seem to get rid of is always bringing up people from the valley, and they want to come up here. And you know, when we're up here, let's have a party is kind of the mindset that they're having. So these guys, these two in particular, they're capitalizing on that. So they come up and advertise, do their thing, then they set up their little shop, and we've been dealing with it. I know Nick from Forestry's been dealing with it on his end too. He actually brought it to our attention with the first guy from a couple months ago. So hopefully that won't pick up steam and we can deal with these two, nip that in the bud, get them out of here, and you know, go back to life as normal. But yeah, that's near as I can tell you. It's just a business opportunity. So
you can call the people you want.
Oh, I saw you first. Sorry.
Okay. Just a question on your staffing.
Yes.
You say you have a night officer.
Yes.
Which is great. Is this a full-time officer?
Yes. He will be full-time.
And how many will be on duty at any particular time? Or is it we're going to have 3, 4, or whatever?
So Tuesday through Friday, it will be 3, 4, including me, at any given time. And then it kind of will fluctuate between our shifts. You know, so I have the day shift, the mid shift, and then swings, and then the on-call for, you know, our overnight hours. But mostly during our busy time, it'll be 3, if not 4, when I'm working.
And for the summer hours?
Right now, as far as I know, I'm going to keep the same hours. Wes, or Officer Williams, being the Indian Springs guy, we might adjust him accordingly a little bit to see how things are going. But we will still maintain our what is it, 20 hours a day coverage with 4 hours of on-call. So hopefully we won't see any major interruption in service. Yes, sir.
Are there any really hard drugs that are coming into our community?
No. No. From what I've seen, it's mostly, I'll say 98.5% to 99% marijuana. And then there's still a couple opportunists like these two. The one that Officer Ford got in a fight with before he went to jail, he did have some methamphetamine on him. However, I believe based on the amount that we recovered, it was personal use. But as far as that, anything else, since I've been up here since December, this is the first issue that I've had with any kind of narcotics up here. So I'm not seeing an uptick other than these guys just want to try and make some money.
Any indications that these sellers are within our communities?
No, they're strictly downtown Las Vegas, silly people from the valley. I'll leave it at that. But no, it's not our residence. So, yes, sir.
In the past, I've noticed gridlock on some occasions after snowstorms. But I would say in this, I don't know if it's the amount of snow that we've been getting or what, but there's a lot less problems as far as people alongside the roadways, people running back and forth across the roadways in between cars and everything. It's much better than it was in the past.
Hopefully me and my guys can take a little credit for that. I'm not sure. Some of it I know is going to be left to our plowing guys, you know, the tending to the parking areas lastly. We are working I'm trying to come up with a better solution with our traffic issues up here, especially on the busy weekends. We have been doing a lot of enforcement as far as equipment with chains or four-wheel drives, snow tires, that sort of thing. I don't know if it's been more or less since I took over, but we are doing the public safety aspect of it. You know, I don't want to say it's a zero tolerance kind of thing. You know, we are issuing a few citations. We have had a handful of people come up here that we talk to in the morning, pulled them out of the snow, went and talked to them again in the afternoon because we had to pull them out again, and then there were a couple that there were three times, you know, within a 10-hour shift. Those ones earned a citation, but mostly it's been an education issue. Hopefully it's working, and you know, we'll keep staying on it as best as we can.
You know, Brian, part of me thinks that because the snow has been such a treat this year, there is no place, or the roads have been such a mess, and people start to come up and go, oh, this is like over my head.
Yeah. On busy,
a little sense of turnaround.
Right. I will say on busy snow days, on our busy storms, I was having a few of my guys, when we do our checkpoints and our turnaround areas, we were moving down to Lower Harris Springs on a couple occasions, and then the Upper Harris Springs Road. So we're trying to stop it before it makes its way this high.
One more thing on that is that NDOT put up no snow play on the marquees.
That helps.
Yes. So that was back in January. We had a big meeting down with NHP, and so that was one of the things that we brought up, trying to reword. And NHP did. Not, Kathy's not here, I can't let her speak to that, but they did start instituting, you know, on busy days when those parking lot areas over there were covered in snow, they just shut it down to alleviate having all of us have to try and pull those people out, and then they migrate over on this side and that sort of thing. So
it seems like there's been more closures with all the heavier snow, which has helped. I'd like to talk about the NRS on the horses and barrels. Define harassment. Like, I've had seen the road when it was totally stopped both ways because three or four horses.
Right.
And people had their windows down, letting their kids petting, getting out, taking pictures, feeding them. And I got out with my jacket, chased them, not just off the road, but, you know, made them till they got up the hill and away from the road. So I just want to make sure your MVP here doesn't get a citation.
No, not at all. And again, so from our standpoint, for Metro and us up here, a lot of our work that we're going to be doing is going to be educational based. Mm-hmm. Because a gross misdemeanor crime is pretty hefty. Mm-hmm. Plus, in my conversations that I've had with the district attorney's office and our legal department, everybody's on board with us doing this work, but they don't want it to turn into slam everybody every single time we can. What you're talking about, and I've dealt with it myself, there's one little foal up here that is just so hard-headed. It might be. The group of six or seven that have been wandering around lately.
The others were up the hill, and this one was perpendicular in the lane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a little guy, and he's very stubborn. The rest of them, when we hit our air horns, we can see them. They startle. Yeah. They walk off and they go back up into the forest. This one will not move. He just turns around and looks at me like, you know, this is my mountain. There's been a couple occasions where I had to get out and smack him on the backside, and he got the picture and he moved on. But as far as the Nevada revised statute goes, for us, it's mostly going to have to do with the feeding. So when they come up and they stick their head in somebody's car and we can actually see them feeding, you know, that sort of thing, that's when we can get involved.
But it is, I think, mostly education. I've seen parents actually go out and take, looks like a 3 or 4 year old, and set them. Mm-hmm. Try to set them on the horse to get a picture, and I'm just going.
Right, wild animals.
I'll have to pull it up. I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared on that.
No, that's okay.
I just wanted
to make sure I was okay.
No, if any of us
shoo it off, just to, and every people had their windows open, petting, feeding, and that was the first thing I did. Roll up your windows. This is creating an issue.
Right, and I'm still learning everybody up here, but for the most part, I've been doing this long enough, I can tell who's a resident up here and who's not, you know. If we see, you know, my guys aren't going to write you guys tickets or take anybody up here to jail for that. It's just not going to happen. We're targeting the city folk coming up here and because they're the ones, like you said, they're the ones that want to have the pictures, they're the ones that want to go for the donkey rides and all this stuff, and they think that, you know, it's cool and it's acceptable, but it's obviously it's not, you know, and we all know it's causing issues as far as the horses staying on the roadway, coming out in the roadway during, you know, nighttime hours when people can't see, and causing other issues as well. So I'm hoping it can be the actual enforcement of the punishment can be curtailed for the worst of the worst, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. But again, it's going to be strictly an educational thing. We can't do that. You know, we're domesticating these horses, and right. it's bringing them down, and ultimately causing us all a lot of stress for whatever reason or purpose. So.
Well, and it's bad for the horses too, because right. they're on the road thinking that's a safe place to be. Yeah.
Right.
So. Are there any other questions for Andy, for Metro? Thanks,
just
Andy.
Just one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
We all owe you a thank you, along with the other people that we're going to thank in a minute. But this has been a challenging year, and I just want to, you know, with all the snow and everything, and I think you heard that we're appreciative of your efforts and your guys' efforts. So tell them all thank you for us.
Oh, absolutely. We all appreciate you. Thank you from me to all of you and everyone up here. You know, thank you for your grace and your patience with me. It's, you know, it's definitely been a learning curve, but I'm loving every minute of it. So as long as you'll have me, I'll stick around a little bit longer.
Okay. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, folks.
Very good. Next on the agenda, a report from Captain Jason Douglas for the Mount Charleston Fire Protection District.
All right.
Good evening.
How are you guys doing? So I was promoted to Assistant Chief last meeting. So December, Chief gave me kind of a little introduction, but I can give more of an introduction. I've met some of the folks here. So my name is Jason Douglas. I'm from Las Vegas originally, but I've kind of been in and out of the mountain a lot of my life. My dad worked up here in the 70s. He was a fire captain at the station over there in 75-76. I have a background in wildland firefighting for 12 years. So I worked for the Forest Service. I actually worked here up here in Kyle Station in 2012, 13 and 14. And then I went to the Bureau of Land Management. I was there for 6 years. Worked at Red Rock Canyon. So I was there. And then I also worked on the Tahoe National Forest in California. So worked in the mountains a lot of my adult life. Went to Clark County Fire. I was there for almost 2.5 years. So I worked down in the valley, Clark County Fire, for a couple years. And then was given the opportunity to come up here as a captain last year, which I was the captain in Lee Canyon over there. And then opportunity arose to... We got some funding to get an assistant chief, and I put in for it and was selected for that as well. So that's my position here. I was going to do an intro last time in December, but the meeting was, we had a lot of stuff going on for you, those of you who were there. So that's me. So bear with me. This is like my first full year on the mountain. I guess it's my first best snow year on the mountain. So I'll go over. Chief Gonzalez is actually, he is not available tonight, so I'm stepping in for him. He'd usually do this, as you guys would know. So first, our calls for service. We have 52 calls. This is from February to March to current, so first February to today, actually. The majority of the calls were weather-related, such as traffic accidents, assisting stuck vehicles, kind of like what Metro's been doing. We also had we had one campfire-ish, you know, in the snow, related call. A lot of vehicle-related incidents and quite a few medical calls. I'm not gonna go all over 52 of them, but 52 for those last 2 months. Some of the updates we have from Mount Charleston, we got a lot of exciting stuff going on. Well, I think it's exciting. We are adding to our staff, as you can see, my position's new. We also hired our first full-time paramedic, which is big for us. We still have two more openings, two positions open. So as you guys who have been up here for a while know, that station's traditionally been staffed with two folks per shift. So 24-hour coverage, two people on shift, a captain and a firefighter. And what we've moved to is we're looking at three full-time 24/7, so a captain, a firefighter, and a firefighter paramedic. So that's big for us that we got one hired. Anybody's familiar with paramedics, it's very hard right now. Everybody's hiring one. So we were lucky to get a good medic that is actually a resident in Echo. So that was also a bonus for us.
Can you give us his name?
Yes, Joe Wyszynski. Joe Wyszynski.
Joe Wyszynski.
Yeah, him and his wife just moved up, I'll say October, maybe? You might know, right?
Yeah,
I think October, yeah. So yeah, he's a 16-year medic, so a lot of experience. He was working at county. I stole him from Clark County. So
good job.
Clark County people, but he's up here with us, which is great. So we still have those two openings. We actually just, we're hiring medics right now. We're also hiring our seasonal program, so... some know we do a seasonal program, 6 months. It's kind of entry level, get people familiar with the fire service. So we're hiring two positions with that. We just put the outreach out last week. And then we also have one full-time firefighter position that's currently open as well. So we're hiring for that as well. So the end goal, my goal, as well as Chief Gonzalez, is for our full-time staff would be to staff Lee Canyon with two folks, a captain and a firefighter, at least 410s all year. We're pushing for that. So. Our at any given time, depending on our staffing, we need five people to respond for emergencies on the mountain, at least during our daylight hours, not through the night. So that's our new model, hopefully. It's been two people for, Chief Martin might be able to tell me, maybe 30
forever.
So that's...
Going back to Mel Danes when there was only one.
Yeah, back to when my dad was here, it was kind of the same. So that's very exciting for us. So if you know anybody's interested, our department's different. We do require full qualifications. We don't have an academy, so it usually has to be someone who has worked at a different department to come up and work for us, which is good. It brings experience. So that's our staffing update. If you're interested, I do have some of our outreaches. Just let me know. It kind of gives what we require, what we're looking for. Next up, we have the Pine Needle pickup, which is June 3rd. So, right, I knew that comment was going to come, right? If the snow melts, right? Yeah. We're pretty hard set on this date. We'd have to talk to Chief Gonzalez on moving it. I hope it melts. It's going to be kind of the same as we normally do it, right? We have our trash bags, which will be available at the BFD 2 weeks prior, come out. We'll be having trucks to come and pick up the bags of pine needles and debris. We're also going to have the same dumpster locations, but most of them, you guys might know, so Old Town, it's right across from the VFD. Then we have Rainbow, which is kind of right at the top of the roundabout junction, the entryway. And then Echo, right by the mailboxes usually. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have one in Lee Canyon, right at Lady of the Snows. Mm-hmm. So we're going to put them out the day prior. Please don't, clean out your yard and with your old tractor or something you want to throw in there, right? So it's for green waste debris, right? So that's what we're getting donated by Republic Service, and they're going to pick it up, and they're expecting to have green waste in it, not everything else, like refrigerators and all that. So, and then it'll be picked up the next day on Saturday at 2. So it's a quick, once we're done with the event, it's getting picked up at 2 o'clock, so that same day. So it'll only be out there for a night.
Hey, Jason, yes, sir. Regarding that, that's the first Saturday of the month, and that's Republic always has the gates open for big items. Will that be curtailed, or will that be done concurrently?
It'll be done. We do it kind of in that same process so that we have that availability if we fill our dumpsters up to go down and use that, which we did last year.
Okay.
Right, and that dumpster's for things that you're not going to be putting in these dumpsters.
Correct,
right.
Yes. Yes, and we might help out if people need help with some other items here and there. At times we usually do. We bring up a flatbed. And we possibly will have our trailer by then as well. So we'll have ways to get some of that trash and stuff down there. Not like main household stuff, but if you have bigger wooden items and things like that, we can help with that. So so that's it for Pine Needle. I'm not saying that's a hard in stone date. Weather dependent, obviously. That's the way this whole winter's been. So the other thing we have is hydrants. We've been trying to keep up on it. We've been trying pretty hard. We do have a crew coming tomorrow that's going to do what we just got. We rented a skid steer to help with it. You guys probably seen some of us through the neighborhoods. That ice layer got real thick after those first couple snowfall. But we've been keeping up on it better as we get our system down. We've been hiring, we have a contract with Nevada Division of Forestry, and their inmate crews will come up and in tandem with us. Usually two of us will go out with the tractor and then have them we'll get the bulk of it and they'll come and get around it. So if you see a hydrant that was missed, please let us know. We did miss a couple and we did have some residents let us know, hey, this one looks like you guys did them, but this one was missed. So we appreciate that and we'll get out there and get it done. But yeah, we're trying to get it right after, but it's been a couple days here and there. And some people do put snow in the hydrant holes, I'm sure by accident, when they're plowing and doing other things.
That would be public works.
I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, really nice.
You're absolutely right.
Be nice.
CPR. So I have seen quite a couple residents. We had two CPR classes that we did. They were last weekend, right? Was it last weekend?
Yes.
Yes, last weekend. I was at one of them. Our next are April 14th and the 15th. We still have a couple openings on those. It's free to the residents up here, right? We do it through the grant program. Email us or get a hold of me, Chief Gonzalez or Chief Martin. Let us know. Chief Martin might have the exact. We've got two in one day and eight available on the other day.
Yeah, there's two spots open on the 15th, which is Saturday, and there's a bunch of positions, eight positions open, I think, on Friday evening.
Friday, yeah. The flyer's out here in the library for the time and dates, too.
Who's ever the lady that was doing it, Deb, I think her
name
was, got rave reviews from a number of locals that attended that.
Yeah, Deb's a volunteer on the fire department up here. She's a paramedic and a paramedic forever.
And rave reviews from people that don't normally rave about anything. Not mentioning any names.
That's good. Deb is awesome. She actually taught most of the people in the valley their medical classes.
Cool.
Yeah. Anybody's ever gone to EMS training center, she's the main person at that training center. As for that, that's pretty much what I have for our updates. The board has questions.
Any questions from the board? I'm okay. Any questions?
I just want one.
Yes.
And this is really for Megan, just so that you know. They came and they did a great, we were keeping our personal fire hydrant, you know, the one that's right in my house.
Yeah.
Personal, haha. And we were keeping it clean, and then your guys came up and cleaned it out. Because, you know, we've had only a lot of days of snow. But as soon as they cleaned it out, here came the plows, and the plow covered it up. And I felt so bad because you guys had to come right back out like the very next day. And all I was thinking is if we could coordinate maybe with the snowplow people.
So believe it or not, we have been coordinating public works. So and Megan can comment on a little bit more, but there has been some new employees who aren't used to the system. And that has been addressed. We had a meeting actually last week to discuss, hey, can you guys help us out just a little bit? We're not asking you to do the hydrants for us, but just... when you're right there, kind of like what NDOT does in a lot of our drives, they switch their plow the other way when they go in front of the fire station. That's all we're asking. So they'll tell you if they were here, I think they had like four new employees, I want to say, and a lot of them have never done snow.
They are all new this year.
Yeah, so making comments. So we've had two meetings on it, so it has been addressed, but yeah, it's been...
Yeah, we felt so bad because...
I've been out there personally, a bunch of us have, so yeah.
Yes, and I had just also wanted to say thank you for clearing the fire hydrants because, yes, I cannot do that for the one that's closest to me. That's just too much food for me to move if my neighbors don't get to it. And then, do you know, because I've been asking, dear George Gonzalez, my handout for the locals on fire restrictions, should the snow ever melt, is that done?
Yes, so we did... we were actually just talking about that a couple days ago. So we did complete it. Myself and Chief Gonzalez were working on it. We were going to coordinate that release when the Forest Service puts the Forest Service and the other federal partners put their restrictions in place to kind of be in tandem with the same timelines and restrictions. So it'd be kind of, it'd be hard because if we did them at different times, then it'd be confusing because, I thought I'm in the forest and I read on the website this and that. So we're going to kind of do it that way.
I got it right. All right.
Yeah, so we do have it complete. We're just kind of waiting, obviously, for our restrictions to come in place. And Chief will talk more on it probably in the next meeting, honestly.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Can we see a draft of that? Do you have a draft? You can either email us or...
Yeah, we can get a draft, okay. Yeah. I was going to have a copy today, and I didn't grab it.
But I had a draft months ago. I think it was even before December.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
Dave,
do you have anything for the Mount Carson Volunteer Fire Department?
So, we do have a number of new prospects for the volunteers. And they're working our way through, it's a long stretch to get people through the process between background checks and physicals and all the rest of it. But we do have some folks that are interested. Jason has been responsible for getting some wildland people who have worked for the federal agencies for a couple of years, interested in coming up here and volunteering, getting some experience with structure firefighting and the medical side. So we have a couple of them working through the process, and some more folks from the valley. Not a lot of folks from up here. So if you know anybody who's interested and able to do that, it is a lot of time involved in it. It's wonderful to be able to help the community. Right now we're down to, four local?
Yeah, I'd say four.
Four locals up here that are on the department, plus a part-timer. So if you know anyone, send them our way. So we have meetings the first Tuesday of every month, 6:30 at the volunteer stations.
Any questions for Dave?
Has Mikey been coming to the meetings?
Is who?
Mikey Planton.
Yes, he is.
All right.
And he's coming to training, too.
Good.
And he's probably should be teaching the training.
Good.
So, you know, so Michael is a Henderson firefighter who was up here. He's a paramedic. So we now have two county paramedics that are volunteers. Deb Daly was a paramedic, and Michael Planton was a paramedic.
Wow.
So we,
Katie. Good. That's your brother-in-law?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brother.
Okay. Brother?
Brother-in-law.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said, good. What do you want to do on your day off? Go to the fire department.
Thank you. Keep pushing it.
And bring your son with you.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Next report. I heard that the water district people aren't coming
tonight. Yes, but I have a report.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's all yours, Megan.
Okay, as of March 29th, the Rainbow Well and the Echo Well levels, Echo 3, 4, and 5, are all in the sustainable range.
Oh, seeing we like that.
Seeing, they haven't changed the sign yet, though, because I just saw it. Seeing some significant increases in well levels as of late. The sustainable operating condition implies that water supplies from the groundwater aquifer are sufficient to meet the needs of the Kyle Canyon community. Kyle Canyon well levels compared to the same time in 2022 and 2021. Echo 3 static water level is 44 feet below land surface. Echo 4 static water level is 125 feet below land surface. Echo 5 static water level is 88 feet below land surface. And Rainbow Well static water level is 123 feet below land surface. And then there's a chart here with information. Currently, the water year-to-date precipitation at the Mount Charleston Fire Station gauge is estimated to be 162% of normal for 2023.
Yes.
Wow. I'll take credit for that. There are no major leaks or system issues to report other than staff has responded to a few homes over the past few months that had broken or frozen pipes. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And I can't
thanks,
answer
Megan.
Any questions because I don't know.
You can ask questions, but since Megan isn't with the water district, I'm not going to put her on the spot. So wait till next month. Thanks, Megan. Mm-hmm. Metro Volunteers, did I see Donna Thompson anywhere?
Donna emailed me earlier this afternoon. She's having family issues down in the valley, so she's okay. Not able to make it. She did say that there's nothing substantial to report. And business is normal for them.
Okay. Thanks, Andy. Mm-hmm. Nevada Highway Patrol.
Yeah, Kathy.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Kathy Bonk, I'm the sergeant for Mount Charleston and Indian Springs District. My phone number is 702-249-8388. I don't have any cards that I can leave. I usually do. Oh, but they still say Steve Sisolak on them, so we're waiting for anyone else to come in. We're down to four troopers and one sergeant
wow.
in this district. I don't know if that's going to change anytime soon. We may lose one more, depending on if his girlfriend's job up in Carson. And they haven't been replacing people as they transfer out or get different assignments. So those are our numbers for now. This past month, these are February stats because March isn't over, we wrote 303 tickets.
Oh, jeez.
We policed 15 crashes, and I don't have the breakdown of 157, 156, 158, okay. 95. We had 2 arrests, both DUIs. We handled 17 abandoned vehicles, and this month 212 motorist assists. And I will say to the board, so far this winter operation season, we've assisted over 1,000 vehicles pulling people out of snowbanks.
Wow.
With the equipment that you guys provided.
Oh, good.
So thank you. We handled 4 pedestrians, and we had 316 traffic stops.
Wow.
And we had 8 incidents involving animals in the roadway. And 1 case of animal cruelty.
Wow. Really? Do you want to elaborate on that?
I don't think it happened in the district. I think it was a dog that was left in a cage and dumped all over the district.
That's all that. Right.
Poor dog. Kathy.
Yes.
Is a Peter Sorensen on your staff with Nevada Highway Patrol, or is he retired?
I kind of think he's retired. I'm not positive, though.
He's building a house at the bottom of Kyle County.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, recruit him.
Okay. Ask him to come back, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions for Kathy?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
That's good to hear about her equipment.
Yes. U.S. Forest Service is here. Deb McNeil's up.
I went techno, and now I got to try to read my phone with my notes. Usually I write them out. So, I'm Deb McNeil. I'm the area manager for the Spring Mountains NRA, a.k.a. up here. And, yes, isn't it a beautiful view out the window right now? We prayed for all of this the last few fire seasons, but maybe not all at once. And I'm really hoping it doesn't melt all at once.
Yes.
So a couple things, Ernie, I wanted to get back with you. So we, if for those that are up here know, we do usually do firewood sales in the fall. There's a couple big rules. Timber's a big thing for the Forest Service. It's one of the reasons we were formed. So we can only sell 2 cords per person per year, per calendar year. So if we did open it up now, then you wouldn't be able to buy more wood in the fall. It's a process here. We have a lot of restrictions, right, because we're a national recreation area designated by Congress. But what we are looking to do is a couple things. Put firewood at our visitor center for both as NV Energy starts to do some of the fuel reduction work under their lines and stuff, and as we're doing some of that, to take that wood and it tends to be a little more nimble and small, which is good. And then possibly we're looking to do a commercial sale to the nonprofit, Gilmount Charleston, Southern Nevada Conservancy, that runs the gift shop at our visitor center, to maybe be able to sell bundles of wood. So we can't really sell you like what you'd want to take camping for the weekend or whatever, but then that gets us out of the 2 quarts per year restriction. It's probably still going to be cheaper than what you get in town, but no promises, but that's looking promising, I guess. So probably not doing a firewood sale right now because they haven't even issued the permit yet for 2023 until sometime this fall. But I did want to say why, because I get it. We all, you know, everybody ran out already. The ski area.
I can't get to mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't even get out the door.
But up in Maine, it's warmer than here. Ski area is going to stay open until April 9th for daily operations, and they actually said now they may stay open until the 30th for Friday, Saturday, Sundays.
I got the local pass 1 free week.
Good. they had. And this was like a couple weeks ago, over 220 inches.
They beat their record.
Yeah, did they? Because Mammoth has 72.5 feet at the summit. They are the most on.
Every time I complain, I think, no, I shouldn't complain.
I know. It's just like I said, we get it in big blessings at once, right? I did want to say kudos. Snore is here, and I know you're going to get something, and also to all the Winter Alliance. As alluded to earlier, we all work together and get our messaging in our preseason, and we're always looking for new ways to reduce the risk in the traffic up here. So new folks coming in, new ideas, it's been good. I mean, it's not that stuff hasn't been tried before and we rotate with the good ideas, But I do think moving the stuff down on the highways was good. Mm-hmm. That's not a Forest Service decision. Mm-hmm. And then we did get some requests because of all the snow to close some roads. I can't close mm-hmm. a Forest Service road unless it's an emergency or I go through the NEPA process and update our mm-hmm. motor vehicle use map. So anything you see that has a Forest Service number on it. So what we did do is put in an order that says if you are going to drive on that road, you need to have the right equipment, just like NDOT with the chains or whatever. But if I do go through that process and we do a seasonal restriction, for those of you that have lived here long enough to know, there are going to be plenty of years where I'm going to have a road closed for snow, that we close at the beginning of the season, it's closed to the rest, and then people aren't going to be able to get out there to hunt and visit and recreate. So it's going to be a lose-lose for me, because it's going to be controversial, and it's probably, but we will look at it if there's enough interest to do that on some of these roads. But it's pretty rare, so I'm not saying it's not a good thing. And then we are also ordering more signage from the North Horses and Burroughs to put up, and you know, it's a staffing issue for us on the enforcement, but it is a federal law not to feed or water or harass, and by harass really that can be pretty broadly defined, the horses. And it's really unfortunate because we're teaching them all the bad habits, right? Mm-hmm. That little foal is probably going to become a stallion soon, and then he is going to end up having, he's going to get hit, he's going to harm somebody, he's going to kick somebody, or he's going to end up being removed because he's a danger, and that's what the law says. So anyway, not my favorite topic, as anybody knows.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of all I had, unless there's questions.
Questions? Go ahead.
This is more of a comment and a concern than a question. In Echo, there was an old ski tow line where there had been an avalanche. Mm-hmm. That area has so much snow on it, and it's been snow, ice, snow, ice, snow, ice. It's a real concern that we might have another avalanche in that area. There have been some smaller ones that we have seen just from our house. Not anything dangerous, but that particular one is of concern. And I did hear, I think it was your boss, say he wasn't going to do any avalanche mitigation. This is when the skier died from an avalanche.
Yeah, he's my rec officer.
Yeah, I heard him say that he wasn't going to do any avalanche mitigation. But I really wish somebody would look at that and assess it, because it looks like it's just going to...
And it may, right? And so we do avalanche control at New Canyon at their expense, and it's their program with the howitzer. So Army howitzer, big gun, it's a lot of math, it's a lot of work. They go up and shoot, that's why we close the road, there's a lot of things to it. But when we shoot the howitzer, it's to cause an avalanche, right?
Yes.
So mm-hmm. we don't generally do that in communities, and if it is, it would be like a county effort in a nonprofit and whatever, because we don't even do avalanche forecasting here. So the problem with doing that is it would take probably a couple of years to figure out what you do, but then you don't know if you're going to cause a little avalanche or a big avalanche, but anywhere you look and see where there's no trees and it looks like a ski run, it's not a ski run, it's an avalanche. And so, because the ski tow used to be the ski resort back.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, many moons.
So I know there is a Washington office avalanche program manager, but most places in the West do not have avalanche forecasts across the forest, and it's pretty rare. And the places they do are, you know, like the really large ski areas or the really large mountain communities in Colorado that get lots of events. So that's probably not the answer you wanted, but I did check into it. I was waiting. My guy was actually up with those people this week.
Yes, I had called you on this.
Yes, no, I had the message tonight, and I've been asking. It was like, last week. I just didn't have an answer yet, but he just got back literally from Boise today, and I'm like, I need an answer. She's going to ask. So, but it's a complicated thing, and the biggest thing was when he told me, well, we could do it, but we don't know if we're going to cause a big avalanche or a little avalanche. And I'm like, not sure that's really what we want. Mm-hmm. But do be prepared if you're out there, because everything is considered backcountry, mm-hmm. basically. And it is a risk. It's part of the joys, right, of living in the moment.
So last summer we had three patrols, and historically we've had three patrols out during the summer. I heard an ugly rumor that I hope is not true that they're considering reducing it to two patrols.
Are you talking about our law enforcement?
The guys in the patrol units were
Our fire prevention? Yeah. Yes, so no. The good news is we did lose one, but we are able to backfill it.
Okay.
Yeah, so we will still have three fire preventions as well as four engines on the force, which is good.
And with that,
Nick,
and most people know the Ray Dombrowski, the district fire management officer. If we are successful in hiring somebody in this next round of hiring, which is 2 weeks out, that they will be here by mid to late June in place, barring any HR issues and paperwork. Additionally, sharing information for folks that are getting firewood and trying to maximize their tags. The one cord tag is 4 foot by 4 foot by 8 foot, 128 cubic feet of wood. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of people sometimes do a 6 foot bed cab high, where you're shorting yourself 2 feet. You're shorting yourself quite a bit of wood in that. You know, you're looking at a full size 8 foot bed pickup truck with nothing in the bed, stacking the bed to the top of the cab. A lot of wood. A lot of people short sell themselves. And where I came from in Northern California, where wood was gold for winter for survivability. So make sure when you guys are getting the wood off of us, that you're maximizing your 2 cord allotment.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Rick. Deb, are you done?
Unless there's questions.
Any questions? Thank you very much. Ray,
okay.
You done?
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Before we go to the next one, I just thought of a question for Andy.
Yes, sir.
On Wednesday, driving up, when I talked to two or three friends, we all saw a bunch of Metro going down the hill. Normal speed, one had sirens on, and then we heard about an event at Shadow Ridge High School. Were you guys responding to that?
Yeah, I'll speak to that. No, we were not responding to Shadow Ridge High School. The vehicle, for those that saw the ones with the lights and sirens going, that was me. What ended up happening with the current state of affairs in Nashville and what's going on, obviously that heightens everybody's awareness and fright level. So the Shadow Ridge High School thing, for those that don't know, the long and short of that is a kid brought a gun to school, or alleged to have brought a gun to school. Word of mouth between the juveniles created a panic, which caused Metro down in the valley to respond the way they did. They treated it like an active shooter type situation, cleared the school, everything. It was a lot, you know, it was a big production. Thankfully, nothing came of it, and that child has since been taken into custody. As far as me, same day, coincidentally, out in Indian Springs, there was a report of gunfire near the school, the high school that's out there. For those that don't know, out in the dump area, or behind the school, there's a public land dump area where the locals go, and some of them do target shooting out there. That school does have a couple new administrators out there, so when the kids were out on recess playing, they all heard gunshots echoing from that canyon area, which prompted them to become frightened, and they reported it. And just for safety precaution, they did a hard lockdown on the school. But since my response from here to there is lengthy, I responded the way I did. So yeah. Soothing the nerves, so to speak, for that. And that turned out to be nothing. There was some target shooting going on out there, but there was no threat to the school. There was no threat to Lundy, nothing like that. We did have a call out in front of Lundy about a trash guy or a construction guy being unruly and uncooperative, but that had nothing to do with the school. It just was the location where it happened. So,
Andy, can you comment to all of us? Typically Wednesdays there's a meeting at the Metro station. Is that just Metro or is that interagency? Because we see a lot of cars.
Typically, it's just us, just Metro. What that is Wednesday is our common day when everybody's working at the same time. So between the shifts, we have we start, depending on what's going on, I have a meeting with my crew and, pass along pertinent information, that sort of thing. This previous Wednesday was our training day, so we had to get caught up on a couple mandatory things. That's why we were all over on this side and had to go kind of crazy to get out over there. But I'm not opposed to having any kind of public or interagency meetings. We have had them in the past, or Matt did, I know for sure. But whatever we need and whatever you folks want, just let me know and we can schedule something. So
great, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah.
Who's up next? Nevada Energy.
I don't see
Nevada Energy. Megan, Clark County Administrative Services.
I don't have a whole lot tonight. I know we have a lot to get to. So, license plate program, we're not supposed to call it a grant anymore, so license plate program. We will be bringing those to you next month. Presentations. We only have three this time. This is the least amount. I reached out to every agency, and they weren't wanting to do them this year, which is not bad because it gives the fund a chance to build up for next year. And I think a lot of the agencies are still getting caught up in COVID because they weren't able to go out and do programs as much, and so they're still catching up. So that's my feeling. After 11 years, this is very unusual, so I'm thinking that's it.
And we don't have to spend the money just because we have it. We can save it. Okay.
There are three very worthy grants for you.
Our pizza.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd say that's worthy. And I know we've been asking about the dark skies designation from the state. So they finally did their program, and it's worthless. It is. I was so excited, thinking this is something I'm going to be able to bring up to you guys because Red Rock's interested too. It basically says. If you've been designated as a dark sky area somewhere else, we'll do it too. Absolutely ridiculous. I read it like three times because I thought, that can't be. No, they just will rubber stamp someone else's. So that led me to look at how to get another dark skies designation from the International Dark Skies Society. So I thought the way that would work, just I assumed, which we know, that if you got the designation for your area, then that would dictate rules and regulations and codes and stuff. It's exactly the opposite. If you have those rules, regulations, and codes in place, then you can get a dark skies designation. And it is so confusing. So, I do not have time to figure that out. But one good thing is, we are doing our Transform Clark County update right now, and it doesn't have a whole lot to say about lighting and dark skies, but staff knows that that is a concern, not only for you guys, but for other rural areas. So you will see that there's some minor changes in the update of Transform Clark County, and that's because they didn't. The Transform Clark County project is so huge that they don't want to get bogged down in certain sections that need more research. So that and livestock concerns, and there's one other one, and I can't remember what it was, it's something that doesn't affect the mountain, are going to be separate study things after the implementation of the new code so that we can really focus on it. So first I was a little irritated, like, you're not going to make any changes, but I do think it's going to take a little longer, but I think we'll have a better result. And that way we can put more specific codes and rules in for our different areas rather than having blanket rules. So that's all I have. And if you don't mind, we could do the meeting calendar right now so that I don't have to
do it. Yeah, do it.
Okay.
Do it.
So I talked to you guys briefly about the calendar. And last year you had discussed you wanted to do every other month, which would put us at today's meeting. Then it would be June 1st. July 27th, September 28th, and November 30th.
Okay, say them again, slower.
It's right here.
It's right here. Oh, thank you.
That's every other month, starting with this meeting.
cheap.
Could you read that again a little slower for the rest of us? Don't have that.
March 30th, yes. June 1st, July 27th, September 28th, and November 30th.
Megan.
Yeah.
I'd like to open it for discussion. And we'll probably need a motion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So would one of you make a motion to adopt this? But I want to hear from the community.
Okay. I move that we adopt the calendar.
As presented.
Presented. Do you want a second?
Second.
And okay. Open it up for discussion.
Yeah, let's open it up for discussion. Comments from anybody?
Okay. The June 1st, that's the May meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
The way the calendar falls, that's the May meeting. I had to look at it several times too and count and look at the calendar. It gets you guys are the very last of the month, so it gets confusing.
The every month versus every day.
The reason this came up is that we don't have a lot of zoning actions up here. We have one tonight. But it's rather onerous to have all the agencies come up on a monthly basis. That being said, we still don't want to be onerous to people that live up here and need waivers or development standards or setback restrictions amended. If we have a zoning action, we can always add a special meeting. So with that, I wanted to make that clarification.
And planning usually will contact me if a zoning item comes in.
Yes.
So if it were to fall, because it's not unusual, since you even, if you meet every month, that it might fall in between.
Right.
So we usually work on it, and I've never had an instance where we couldn't work it out with an applicant.
Right. So. Okay. Any comments? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No, didn't find anybody.
And that's all I've got, unless anybody has questions for me. Okay.
I realize that all the snowplow guys are new, but if it could be mentioned somehow that if you're coming along in your plow and you see a driveway's been cleared, don't fill it. Turn your blade the other way. You can tell when a home is being lived in and when one isn't. Please don't fill the driveway.
Even with the car in the driveway.
Right. If the snow has been removed from that driveway and you see a vehicle in the driveway, it's occupied. I sent a note to Megan. They came along after that last storm and put 4-foot-high wall, 20 feet wide, 10 feet deep, in my driveway that was cleared of snow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That happened to me, too.
And all they had to do was turn the blade.
I was in tears.
And it would have pushed it into a forested area. Mm-hmm. That's all they had to do. And if I'm standing there, they won't do that.
Oh, no, I was standing there.
I have to be standing there. Yeah, we'll do it then. But if no one's there, and if I have my reflective cones out, boom, right into the drive.
New guys.
This was a new guy.
They are all new guys.
But there's one guy that's been really good. And I was shoveling, and the supervisor had told me that right now it's so high, and I cannot throw it 6 feet high. His words were, came by and saw me trying to do that, said, push it out in the road. We got $1 million piece of equipment that can take that out. That guy, the other guy's been great. So there was this new guy, and I'm shoveling that day, and I first started to just take my shovel and walk across the road, and I thought, this is ridiculous. So I started putting it in the road, and he purposely came and avoided taking it and came. But then when he came back and he's, you know how they can clear the side where the wall is on Echo and kind of push it back, you know, and they scrape it, you know, the side. Mm-hmm. So he's doing that. When he comes to my driveway, he comes right up to me and then goes back. So now to get my truck out, I don't have like 4 feet practically to try to get the truck out. And you could just see he purposely did that because I know he was pissed that I put the snow in the road. And it just was like, I know that's not you.
It's not me. It's not me.
You guys every year.
And well, it's you guys every year. And I think if you guys have been around for a while, you know that we've had some very unpleasant situations in the past.
Yes, ma'am.
So no one wants to work up here.
No, I'll tell you, I've offered them to come on New Year's for black eyed peas. I've offered them coffee and hot chocolate, and so those guys are nice.
This year, every time
and that's appreciated. But I will tell you, it's a fact that they have a hard time getting people to come up here. Plus, it's long hours, it's cold, it's unpleasant. So, not that that's an excuse.
But I wonder if some of them, it's just that's wherever they worked before, that's all they knew what to do and not
well,
to turn the blade.
If they've always worked in Las Vegas, they haven't had the opportunity
right.
to learn how to
do it. That's a fact.
And I know that sounds silly, you know. But then when the time would be for them to learn how to do snow, you guys have the snow and they need to be here working. So I've heard all the complaints. I get calls
every weekend on
the nights and weekends. So believe me, I hear it all. I share it all with Public Works. I will tell you, and this, I grew up here, and then I went to college in Iowa, but when I was in college, I didn't shovel snow. So I don't have experience living where there's a lot of snow. So I don't know. So I got your picture, and I was like, oh my God, this is appalling. Well, I went and showed it to a couple people at work that grew up in like Michigan and back east, and they were like, so? So I'm just saying, there's different perceptions of the level of snow and everything. And this year is unusual. And that doesn't excuse them being jerks. But it is unusual. They're frustrated. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do either. And I actually, someone just sent me an article from Tahoe a couple days ago. And they're having the exact same problems up there where they are super experienced with it. And they have people throwing rocks at their drivers. So so people in snow areas, they share your frustration. It must be something.
Could you ask the supervisor that maybe could say, let the drivers know, hey, I told some residents up there they could put the snow on my road.
Oh, okay.
Just so they know we're not trying to be.
So I've been talking to the supervisor. It is also the supervisor's first year up here. Gary, who was wonderful, retired. So I miss Gary. But I've been keeping track of all of the complaints. I do follow up on them. You know, it's hard. I'm not their supervisor. I can't talk to them. I don't know what message is getting trickled down. I hear you. And once the snow is melted, we're going to have a little come to Jesus. And I'll sit down and figure out how we can do better for next year.
But I was just surprised when he came and said, hey, you know, he was just so nice, just put it in the road. And then I could tell that guy was really ticked.
But
that's what I'm saying. If he would communicate that.
Well, my driveway, I'm putting it right back in the road again.
We all do.
Yes.
The problem with putting the snow in the road isn't a snow pile that's this high. It's a snow pile that's this high. And earlier this year, since we had snow and since our last meeting, there was a time where on Echo, just past Spruce, there are two houses, and they put a berm in the road so people, I guess, wouldn't drive that way, that was taller than me. Now, this, I don't think it was a snowplow, guys. I think this was residents or somebody. But the problem with putting it in the street is if it gets too high to drive over. And I have a problem with that. And the other thing is that I wanted to mention is Martin Luther King weekend was a four-day weekend. And we got dumped on snow-wise. And they didn't come at all that weekend.
Oh, God.
And that was the beginning of making it really difficult. And then when they did come, we only had one lane to go up and around, and so if one car was coming down and another was going up, somebody had to back up, and that was really dangerous because the snow berms were higher than the cars.
And I didn't get any calls that weekend. You guys call me all the time, and I didn't get any calls that particular weekend.
And so that is one thing the supervisor told me, put it in the road as long as it's not higher than like a foot. which I did. I started spreading it all out down the road and made sure the middle.
I figured you would, but you know.
Well, but I mean, just I did
because they told
me. Since
you brought it up, I wanted to say that there was this issue where somebody had.
Well, I'm the second house down from Spruce.
No, this is the other way.
the other way, toward Mary Jane.
Okay.
Not toward.
Okay.
Okay. No action item. Don, you had your hand up.
Yeah. You guys shouldn't be overlooking Yellow Pine. Okay? It was a mess. It was a mess. Especially on Saturday and Sunday and on the holidays. And it was so full of snow. There was no place to put it, and I'm not exaggerating.
No.
There was no place to put it, and of course the county won't touch it. Where is there a place that we can get a truck and we can just dump it somewhere? Will the county give us something like that?
No.
Maybe down the street?
No, it's a private road. The Board of County Commissioners.
You didn't listen to what I said.
Yeah.
Would they give us a piece of property? It wouldn't cost them anything. Tell us where we can move the snow.
We don't own property. We don't just own property up here. It's all federal BLM until you get into the city. And it's definitely they're not going to give you a piece of equipment either.
Well, I didn't ask for a piece of
equipment. I thought that's what you said.
I thought about
is
there some place?
The truck thing.
This is called brains. Use your brain and find out how to get a solution.
You know what? I don't come up here to be abused by you.
Yeah.
So that's enough.
Not abused. That's not enough. We just
okay.
want someone to say, look, there are ways. There are some places where you know this is over there. You can do it over there. You can put it over there. If you get your own scooper. We put it over there. I mean, it was really deep, really deep.
It was deep for everyone.
Deep for everyone, yeah.
And you live on a private road, so when the school's not in session, you can hire someone to plow it. You can hire someone to drop it to something like that.
Where do they put the private? Yeah, that's not on the agenda.
I know.
Okay.
Megan, I had that question too because, you know, it is so friggin' high, you can't see around the corner, and they can't see you. It looks to me, and I don't know if this is true or not, can the county not plow the snow on vacant lots?
No, because you all were just complaining about them plowing it onto your private property. Those are still private property, even if it's a vacant lot. It's still private property. So
I was just wondering because it was so high for a while when we were one lane. I mean, they had no place to put it either, even where I am. And so I started thinking, well, could they not just put it in the empty lots?
Okay.
And I don't know if that's a county rule or
this
not.
I'm going to call an end to this because it's not an agenda item and we have people here for a zoning item that I'd like to move forward on. So
I'm not
save
going
to your
ask
comments.
One question to Megan.
Make it quick.
Okay, I will. I emailed you about the cloud seeding. Can you look into that? Only my concern is what they see to do that and if that's getting into our water we do.
I can tell you just from experience, I got to go to a presentation about cloud seeding up in Level Canyon, which was fascinating. It is super interesting, and we got to see what they use and everything. It's so microscopic, but I'll get the information for you. I'll see if I can get someone from Desert Research Institute to come up because it is fascinating.
Yeah.
Cool.
Then tell them to stop.
It's working.
Okay, kids, we're moving forward. Next agenda item is our zoning action, and I will read a portion of the application into the record. This is a waiver of development standards number WS-23-0064 from Mitchell and Elena Davidson. Waiver of development standards, and let me get to. I want to read this in. The waiver of development standards include reduce the front setback to a minimum of 9 feet where a minimum of 15 feet is required. Reduce the side street corner setback to a minimum of 9 feet where a minimum of 15 is required. Reduce the interior side setback to a minimum of 1.5 feet where a minimum of 5 is required. Reduce the rear setback to a minimum of 1.5 feet where a minimum of 10 is required. Permit block walls up to 6 feet in height within the front yard. where walls are not permitted per table. Permit fences up to 6 feet in height within the front yard where a maximum fence height of 5 feet is allowed. Permit retaining walls up to 5 feet in height within the front yard where a maximum retaining wall height of 3 feet is permitted per section 30, blah, 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 of the county code. We have the background here and the analysis by staff, and I want to read this in the record. I know there'll be more than one question. County has looked at this, and county is making recommendations for approval, but they are requiring, Public Works is requiring a drainage study and compliance with said. Fire Prevention has no comments. Southern Nevada Health District says you have to conform with their requirements. Clark County Water Reclamation is not applicable up here. So, Mr. and Mrs. Davidson, please make your presentation.
Thank you. I have one more paper copy if anyone wants to see
it. All right, so just to introduce ourselves, okay. We're the Davidsons. Say what?
No, I'll watch the
screen. Okay, so this is just a rendering for the folks to see. It's just a video of what's shown in the papers that the board has. So we're the Davidsons. We bought Elizabeth Caruso's old house on Aspen. Yep. 4530 Aspen. Just, you know, it's the brown house that the Thompsons are living at. Yep. Excellent family. We bought it in January of 2020. Was it last year? I guess it was. Yeah. January of last year. And saw a lot of potential in it. Loved the area. Katie was super helpful and her family in finding us the house. We've already made some friends in the neighborhood. I talked to Megan. Well, she took my call and helped getting ready to come up here. The Thompsons, obviously. Liz Claggett's been fantastic as well. And then Katie and her family helping us find the place. So, introduce yourself. And...
Oh, you probably saw our three kids running around.
Yeah.
Probably heard them. And we're hoping to move up here full time. Our timeline is
about a year
or a year and a half, depending on how
summer.
We can get everything approved.
If the snow ever melts.
So this is what we are saving up to do.
So Elena was a school teacher. I work as a CPA. I work from home, but the idea would be to live here full time and work from home. So we look forward to being members of the community. So the setbacks, and I'll address the neighbor's comment about the setbacks as well. So, let me see if I can do this again. The setbacks are actually as designed. I was under the understanding that the setbacks were okay because the house is currently addressed from Aspen. But with the remodel, we plan to change the address to Mahogany. So what's now the side yard will become the backyard. And because of that distinction, the waiver requirements would be necessary. But as designed, if we don't change the address, the waivers don't apply. So the reason we're asking for the waivers is just because we plan on making an address change, not because we plan on changing the design. Mm-hmm. So let's see. What questions can we answer? Really?
Open to the public. I know we have adjacent property owners here.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have some concerns or legitimate questions.
So,
probably met my partner Ryan.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, his father-in-law.
Okay.
So, and we're in the process of putting together plans
right
now as well. And, so you're a foot and a half. I see when you're talking about property line, is that the building or is that actually the eave overhang is what you're counting a foot and a half?
The foot and a half isn't actually, the waiver is not for the foot and a half because the foot and a half is the current property line and the current structure. So
yes.
We're not changing where that structure is on that line. So I'm not sure where this foot and a half waiver
That was required by the county because you're making amendments to your plan. So anything non-conforming now, they're going to ask you to apply for the waiver.
Okay, so we ended up when Liz sold the Liz had the properties together, but when she split the properties and we purchased the properties, you guys purchased the side and we purchased, you know, the other side that was already there. So the line was already drawn before we purchased them. I think you guys signed and agreed to that property.
Right, exactly. Yeah. A little bit of movement of the property line there, and everybody's in agreement on this. So this would be the side that would be facing our property. Is that correct?
That's right.
For the back. So it doesn't look like you have any overhang,
eave,
or anything that approach upon that.
Yeah, we were very conscious of that.
We don't have any reservations that's for you to. That's not going to impact our property. We're doing something similar, so you don't have any windows facing this way.
Right.
So that's a very nice design. That's very appealing.
Thanks.
I just have a question. Yeah, we keep hearing about yellow pine and aspen. Is mahogany even a road?
It is a road.
Yes. A legitimate road?
It's a legitimate road. Yeah. The county has recognized this as a road. And we just thought it would be cool because we're completely transforming the house and updating it. We thought it would be fitting to give it a new address. Make it a little more special for us.
But this application...
That's an administrative thing.
Who owns mahogany? Since we've
been
Liz Clegg. Liz Clegg.
Okay.
Yes.
Have any other questions about that?
No, I didn't
know that get put out, and it probably has potholes.
And we know that.
Just like the rest of them.
We shuffle it.
We shuffle it. Yeah, that community figured out.
That foot and a half is from the leading edge of the roof. Just so you know.
From the...
That's on the report here, yeah.
That's what I kind of...
Yeah.
Thank you.
Rick, I know you just got the materials, and I made the previous comment from staff that they are recommending approval. The presentation's very professional, but anybody's welcome for clarifications to ask any of the questions they have.
I am all for everybody improving their property. But when I saw, my first thought when I saw mahogany is, I don't know aspen as well as I know yellow pine from just driving up and down the street. It is basically a non-functional part of a road, I guess you could call it. So yeah, that's why I was like thinking, really? Okay, because I can't visualize it.
Yeah.
And of course, this is not what it looks like.
Yeah.
All right, now, the other thing that I see there that wasn't in the waiver is, of course, the grass problem. I don't believe you're allowed to put in any new turf now, but that water authority would have to talk to you about that.
Right. Well,
if you even have space to put in turf.
Yeah.
And while we're looking at this, there's water flowing?
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
As part of a design, we thought about adding a water feature there, but with the maintenance requirement, probably not going to do that. So that was something that we threw in last minute thinking, oh, that would be an interesting touch, but just it would be another maintenance item and another water use that we're trying to
get away from. Two there and three there and two over here.
And have you talked to the health department yet about your septic?
Yes, we have.
I was concerned about that when I saw that, for your sake, not for our sake.
Yeah, it was a permitted septic tank put in back 2007, maybe. And it's big enough to manage the flow of a four-bedroom.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So the only resident that your waiver or whatever would impact is right here, this gentleman?
Right, Rick Van Houten.
Rick Van Houten.
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically it's still the same line of the original.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Question about the casita.
Yep.
Is that for personal use? That's not going to be a short term rental or any of that sort of stuff because we've had that recently.
It's a good question. I work from home. And so the idea would be to use it as an office.
There's no short term rentals up here.
You'd be in violations.
Yeah. We'll have family members stay there and we'll have friends stay there, but it'll be primarily used as my work-from-home space, away from the
the screams of the kids at home. So. So we're excited to be members of the community. Donna's already talked to us about volunteering, and so we're excited to be up.
Any other questions? Very professional presentation, very well presented. I'm very pleased with it personally.
That's great. Welcome to the neighborhood.
We need a motion.
I move to approve the waiver
as presented. I won't read all of them into the record, but as presented.
Can you second?
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Welcome to the mountain. Look forward to seeing it going up.
When's the first deposit?
Next year, February.
Yeah.
February.
No.
Hold on.
General business.
We did the calendar. Where's Daryl? Daryl Crippen from Revell is.
Right there.
Oh, thank you, sir.
How are you, sir?
I'm Gerald Thippen with the Revel Mount Charleston Marathon. We are very excited for this to occur this Saturday. Yes, oh boy, trust us, we have been every day. Most of us come from Utah, so as you have had record snow down here, we have also had record snow where we come from. But we just are here to, one, say thank you for your continued support of this event. We have runners from all 50 states who will be here this weekend.
Wow.
And they're excited. Trust me, they will trade a little bit of cold up here at the beginning versus heat down in the valley when they finish. So we appreciate Sergeant Bonk and Assistant Chief Douglas and Chief Gonzalez working with the Forest Service BLM. I have been with the company 5 years now, but this was my first time working with all the stakeholders, and it's just been a pleasure working with all of you. So thank you all so much. You should have received the mailer. It's going to be the same traffic pattern that we've done in years past. So thank you for that. And Chief Martin, if you wouldn't mind coming up, similar to what we have done in the past, we have a donation of $6,000 for the volunteer fire department.
I'd like to make it clear that the check is to the volunteer fire department, not Dave Martin.
Who controls the check?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What time do the pilot cars start?
It will start, the race begins at 6 a.m. We've got the full up here and then the half that begins at the Twilight Zone. They both begin at 6, and so this top section will be closed for that first half hour between the lodge and the corner there. And I'll also have to say, working with Tom at the lodge, he's been round the clock clearing the snow so we can stage the runners up there. He's just been fantastic. And then you've got different traffic patterns that will occur all day until about noon. Obviously, as the runners go down the mountain, those pieces of road will open up. And NHP will be taking care of those.
How many runners do you have?
Yeah, so we have 3,000 total. And we'll have about 1,700 up here at the full, and then 1,400 down at the half.
Wow.
So,
is that so a lot again?
He was asking about when the pilot car starts.
The pilot car will start at 6 a.m.
So there won't be lane restrictions or restrictions on traffic before that?
There will not be. They're meeting at about 3:15 in the morning to get everything squared away. But once that race begins, that's when the restrictions will occur. And I know they will be at the intersection at 158. We may push you at that time that direction, just because we will have runners starting halfway down the hill at that point. But they're going to be at various locations. Expect delays of 15 to 20 minutes just to get those pilot car systems up and down the mountain. So, but thank you for your cooperation with us.
I have to tell you, I've seen a lot of races in my life, and you guys are as good an organization. Startup, complete, with to no effect. on the community. You guys are
five stars. Appreciate those comments.
Five stars.
I've been dealing with you since you started in first grade. Always been so good to provide the notification, the maps early that we post on the residence page, you know, and then the reminders, the postcard, the cleanup you guys do. It's really...
We realize that we can inconvenience people's lives and for a short time, but what I will do, we have an amazing brand manager that puts videos together of the race, and it really shows you the emotion and the experience that these runners involve. But we realized that we couldn't do it without wonderful communities like you who are willing to work with us, and we always try to, you know, make the community cleaner after we leave and better. So we can't thank you enough.
I wanted to comment toward that. We frequently get a lot of trash issues up here because of visitation from the valley.
Yeah.
And after you guys come up, the road is noticeably a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because you're cleaning up not just your stuff, but the other stuff that's accumulated during the course of the year.
So, great.
So we appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
and, of course, the donation to our
room. Absolutely. Happy to do it.
You're all obviously aware of we lost our lodge. And the volunteer fire guys were part in saving the forest at that time.
Yeah, I can't thank you all enough.
You guys would do a good job, in my mind, even without the 6,000. Well, they've established a precedent now, Daryl. You've established the precedent, so we appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Representatives from SNAR are here.
That just sounds sleepy.
Does that?
Good evening. My name is Ian Quill with SNAR. Wanted to give the town an update on how the season's been going. It's been a tough one for us. Pretty busy. So we've got 228 calls since January 1st. 173 of those are on the mountain. So we're pretty much been up here the whole winter with what we've done. We've only had 14 that we didn't recover. They've self-recovered or law enforcement helped them out from the call that they gave to us. And the other, I think 31, they got out themselves as well. So, or actually they've been down the mountain. So 173 up here, a majority of them have actually been either Harris Springs or significantly on the other side, on Lee's side. We're seeing the most trouble is on Champion Road and Max Canyon Road. Mm-hmm. Max Canyon earlier in the season. That's where we're getting most of these stuck vehicles and stuck people going in there. Fortunately, we've been able to help them get out of those situations. We've actually got all except for one out, which needed an actual snow cat to pull his Toyota out of there, so it was that bad. So on Max Canyon. We wanted to just share that we are partnering with our law enforcement partners. So we've been working with Sergeant Vonk with NHP. I can't say enough about what you guys have helped with this year. They really issued a lot more citations. And so for people that are being stupid up here and getting themselves stuck because they've been told to use change and they don't have change, that's helped us a lot because we're trying to help keep the roads clear too. So thank you for that. We were able to partner with Sergeant Velasquez just recently, last month. So thank you for meeting with us. And we have a pretty good relationship set up with Metro to help assist when they have calls. We have been starting to receive a lot more non-emergency calls directly from Metro Dispatch. Some of those are up here in the mountain, but we've actually had quite a few that have been in Wheeler's Pass and Rocky Gap, which is a couple other places up here, up in the mountain.
This time here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Rocky Gap. We had two last week, as a matter of fact. So we've been taking some of those non-emergency calls off their plate and hopefully helping assist them to stay focused on what's more important up here for you guys. And we've had a few local calls as well, so we wanted to reiterate that we are available to assist the mountain and assist the community as well as needed. So far so good on that. Deb too with U.S. Forest Service, so thank you. We met with you as well. There's going to be some signs in the works for putting in those specific troubled spots in Max Canyon and Champion to help hopefully keep some of those people out of there. So four-wheel drive and chains required for those areas. At least that will help keep some people out of that area. And then we just wanted to give a quick update on the grants for 2022. So we did spend all of our funds for 2022, and we will be picking up the gear finally tomorrow. So that we're excited for that, and we're thankful for that. What we did want to just quickly ask is if there would be a location that we'd be able to store some of that, that the town would want to have access to. So the recovery boards, maybe some of the recovery ropes. We did talk to Metro, we could store them down there, but that's pretty far from where you guys are at, so I don't know if there would be a location we could, or if he'd even want us to do that.
Have you talked to Dave or George or Jason?
Not yet, no.
Okay, talk to him.
Okay. Would that be more convenient for you to have it?
Well, it's your call. We're not the experts on it, but I mean, we try to work with people.
No.
My place, yeah, but I'd have to charge you rent.
So I guess we'll partner with that and see where we just want to make it convenient in case that you needed some gear. Otherwise, we'll come up and help. But if you wanted to use a pair of traction boards or something from that grant, we wanted it accessible for the town. So if
make it easy on yourself, Ian.
What's so, that?
Make it easy on yourself where you want them.
For us?
Yeah.
How does someone get in contact with you if they're stuck in them somewhere?
We have a phone number. We handed out our cards last time. I have some with me I can hand out to
but
you as well.
But just the general Joe Blow from in town who gets stuck in Max Canyon. I mean,
they
call the Highway Patrol, they call
no
Metro, and then they call you guys out?
If they don't have cell service, and generally they can still get 911, and that's what's happening. So they're getting 911, it's going to Metro. Metro determines whether or not it's a SAR emergency issue. So Matt's team has partnered with them as well closely in some of these. If it's not life-threatening, they will let us go out and get them out of that situation, which we do. If they deem it life-threatening, then they'll send search and rescue.
Okay.
So that's all we had. Just wanted to give a quick update on how the season's been going for us. So thank you.
Thank you.
We
appreciate your coming. Very nice presentation. That's the end of our formal agenda. Comments from the general public appear devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote on anything. General comments, sir. Dave Martin.
So the roads in Rainbow as well as Echo, if they could come up when those roads dry out a little bit, I can take a look. There's some big patches, Chalet and Mont Blanc has patches, usually 10 by 20.
Take a picture and text it to me.
Yeah.
It's way easier. It's not. There's not time for them to drive around for individual potholes.
Well,
so send me the picture and I'll
we'll get a list.
The other issue we have is a lot of the areas have been scraped down over the years to where the asphalt's only an inch thick.
Yeah.
And it's, sorry, Indian Springs.
Is that you, Dave?
Indian Springs.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get a list together because I drive all four subdivisions every week, so no problem getting you a list, Megan. But we'll wait till the snow melts.
Yeah, well,
no
can't really.
Okay.
Anybody else? General? Beanie?
About the dark skies, you know, is this something that has to be on your desk, or can a subcommittee be appointed to
I think when we come to that part that we're going to work on the code, I think we need to get the code stuff in place, and then I will gladly hand that off to someone else for the dark skies thing. But I will reach out to the community and ask some people to participate with when we do the code part.
Megan,
yeah.
I know Beanie and I work in Indian Wells tennis tournament, and that community is the best dark skies for us, as big it is, and near Palm Desert and all these other communities. And would you care if I called and tried to get what their policy
what
and regulation,
no,
what
great.
The code?
Sure.
No, bring
it
those things
amazing
to the table.
Yeah. To be that big and,
you know. No, I think that'll be helpful and informative when we write the code as to what works.
Yeah.
Yeah,
every time I go there, I'm like, look at this big California city, and it's so dark.
It's
so cool.
Yeah. And I don't have a time frame on when they're going to do
yeah,
it. They're
sure,
still working
understand
on Transform Clark County, but it's going to be done. So.
Okay.
Any other general comments? If not, I'll close the meeting. I want to thank all of the agencies that come, the ones that aren't here tonight, extenuating circumstances, but we appreciate your participation. Thank you very much.
And next meeting, June 1st.
June 1st.
Thank you.
Who keeps this?
That's mine.
Okay.
See? It has my name.
Well, no, there's Beanie's blood.
You know, check your
this is my bionic.
How
long ago did you have it done?
October of 16.
And how long before you go back to like the more used and better?
4 months.
4 months. But he needs to have it done.
I was religious on the rehab. I've been talking to him. Well, not as long as you, but...
But I think because he looks at all these jobs coming up, and
It's 10% fantastic surgeon and 90% rehab. Stephen Hoer, H-O-E-R.
H-O-E-R.
Stephen, he's down by St. Rose.
Yeah, my sister had it done. She called me crying and saying that it was worse than her open heart surgery. She never did it. And I was like, because the physical therapy hurt so bad, so much pain. I'm like, what? You know, this is 2 weeks. And then the next time I saw her, like 2 months later, she was at a crowd show. She goes, watch this. And she's running.
Here's the key. And he's not in bad shape. I mean, the media, but he's not packing any extra weight. Is that having to go, Phil Agassiz is going to make that trip, but he's such a dumbass stubbornness about it that he's not going to go to a rehab facility for a week. I went to a rehab facility for a week and work out in the morning, workouts in the afternoon. And I came up here with our worst woman. Remember in 16 we had the real bad throw? I was climbing into my stairs on the east side of my house. I had a lot of rope hanging over. And I think that helped me because I was moving. But yeah, if he wants a guy that would say this is the best he can possibly do, I've been very fortunate.
It's been so frustrating because they said, oh, we'll do the gel first. You have to do the gel first. And you have to do the steroid shots first. Nothing's working.
Hey, Deb, thanks for all your help. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I just talked to Angie Bullock, but a lady by the name of Mary Ellis reached out for me, and she works for me. So I appreciate your help. Exactly.
You know, I don't
know where
you
start.
Then everybody works a little
faster. You know, Ernie Pizarro is very special. He doesn't start at all. No, no, that was perfect. And I love you so much. I'm running you to get on your ass about not giving me any firewood. Okay? So you're having a good day. I didn't touch it.